50 days after Easter, we find the apostles gathered in a room with our Blessed Mother. This is the same room in which our Lord celebrated the Last Supper. This is the room in which he appeared on that first night of Easter, revealing himself to his apostles as the risen Lord. 10 days had passed since the Ascension. The apostles remembered that Jesus said, "I will be with you until the end of the world." They remembered that at the Last Supper, Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and together we will pour forth the Holy Spirit," whom our Lord identified as the Spirit of Truth, the Advocate, the Enlightener. So suddenly, this room is filled with this driving wind, and these tongues of fire came down, resting upon the apostles. The Holy Spirit had descended and filled them with the gifts they needed to continue the mission of the Lord. In a way, it's like the Father and the Son were just exhaling this breath, this powerful Spirit, filling up the apostles with those gifts. From this point on, they go out and they found the church that we have to this very day because of the presence of Christ and the action of the Holy Spirit. So as we celebrate Pentecost this Sunday, you and I need to be mindful that we too have been given the Holy Spirit. In our baptism, Almighty God breathed through the Holy Spirit a new life into our soul, sanctifying grace. We were recreated as a child of God, made a member of the church, given that identity of being a Christian. With confirmation, again, through the Holy Spirit, these tremendous gifts were breathed into our soul so that we could participate in the mission of Christ and the mission of the church. So a good question as we celebrate Pentecost Sunday would be, what are these 7 gifts? Can you name the 7 gifts? Maybe I should call upon some people at random. Relax. I say relax because I thought back. I was in 3rd grade when I received confirmation. And at that time, yes, we were taught about Pentecost and the apostles, being a soldier of Christ, the importance of our patron saint, mine being Saint Michael the Archangel. But really, we never understood those gifts of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't until, really, seminary, and then as I've continued on being a priest, that I've come to appreciate more and more those gifts and how important it is to pray each day to the Holy Spirit for those gifts to carry on the mission, my vocation. And so we think of these gifts, the first being fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord isn't some kind of servile fear, but a reverential, filial kind of fear. It's the kind of reverence and respect that a child has for a parent because of love. A child has to respect the authority of the parent. And so, for us, the Holy Spirit gives us that insight, that gift, where we always recognize God is God. God is number one. That's why we're here today. We're here to worship God. This is why we take time, we make time to pray each day. Even if it's a sacrifice or even an inconvenience, this fear of the Lord motivates us to do what is right in the eyes of God for God. Even when we sin, it is this gift that motivates us to seek forgiveness as well as to repent. We do not seek forgiveness just because we fear the fires of hell and other punishment, but rather because we've offended God, whom we should love above all things. With this gift, then, comes the second, piety. Piety is really that childlike devotion and love that we have for the Lord. Such piety moves us to pious actions, such as when we came to church today, we made the sign of the cross reverently with the holy water. We genuflected before we entered the pew. We genuflect when we cross in front of the tabernacle, recognizing the presence of our Lord. We kiss a crucifix. All of these are good, pious, childlike actions. Such piety, though, really brings us into a devotion for God and the things of God. When we look at these two gifts, then, we see how they're connected with the virtue of hope, trusting that God will be true to His promises, true to giving us the grace we need, true to forgiving our sins, true to bringing us to heaven if we're faithful. Then comes the gift of knowledge. Here we receive and we accept the truths of the faith. Here is truth. We look at God's truth. But the gift of knowledge also gives us a different vision of this life and how we know life. For instance, I could know much about science, and that's good, but the gift of knowledge allows me to see not just the science, but to see the hand of God who made everything, who made the beauty of this created world, who made me in His image and likeness. Or I know that I am going to face trials and sufferings in life, but the gift of knowledge lets me see that that brings me into union with Christ, crucified. And somehow, those trials and sufferings will make me grow in love with Christ. I know that my life will come to an end in this world, but the gift of knowledge gives me that vision to see that life doesn't come to an end with death. It simply passes on, God willing, by His grace, to everlasting life in heaven. What a tremendous gift. That brings us then to the gift of understanding, so that we can embrace those truths of faith, but also understand better and better the mystery, such as better to understand the truth of the Trinity, or the gift of the Holy Eucharist. This understanding, too, helps us to discern God's will. How do I understand God's will for me? So in a sense, it's prospective. We're looking ahead, thinking, is it God's will that I become a priest, or enter religious life, or get married, or take on this task? It's also a reflective gift, in that we go through that period of trial or struggle, and we think then, and we understand that going through that, being faithful, made me stronger, made me a better person, brought me closer in union with the Lord. Such understanding with knowledge then gives us the gift of counsel, where we can know right from wrong, good from evil, look at a situation with the help of the Holy Spirit, find what is the good to do, how to do it in a good way, even look ahead to see the consequences. We can also counsel others, not just saying to someone, well, do whatever you want, but no, here's the right way to live your life. This is the right choice to make. These three gifts, knowledge, understanding, counsel, are linked to that virtue of faith. And then we bring ourselves to the gift of wisdom. This is the deepest kind of knowledge. It's a knowledge that comes from a real intimacy with the Lord. I sort of think of it as when a couple has been married, let's say, 50 years. They've shared all that life together. They've lived a life of love and fidelity. They know what each other thinks. Same with our relationship with God. If we're really living in the Spirit intensely, then we're going to, as St. Paul said, think with that mind of Christ. We'll know God's thinking. And then we come, lastly, to the gift of fortitude, that gift that strengthens us. It strengthens us to do what is good, to fight temptation, to persevere in time of trial, when we face the hardships, or even if we face martyrdom. These gifts of wisdom and fortitude are linked with the virtue of charity, love. And so we put it all together, and we see how these tremendous gifts that the Holy Spirit poured out upon the apostles have been given to us in confirmation, when we enact those gifts, that's how we become saints. That's how we really become disciples. Sort of like this. You know, we receive this gift at confirmation. But let's say someone gave you a car. Well, that's a tremendous gift. But if you never used the car, what good is it? So we may have received the sacrament of confirmation, but if we never invoke the Holy Spirit, if we never plead for these gifts to be enacted and strive to enact them, what good is it? So we pray today that these gifts will be enkindled, set on fire in our lives. With that, they'll produce fruit. St. Paul says that the fruits of the Holy Spirit are charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, and chastity. When we hear that listing, we think, there's the life of a saint who's been motivated by the Holy Spirit, but that's what we're called to be. Think then, this is how the apostles began to change the pagan Roman Empire. And this is how you and I begin each day to bring about the kingdom of God in our home, our community, throughout the world. We have to be on guard, though, especially in this day and age, against the spirit of evil. St. John warned about this in his epistles. He said, we always have to discern the spirits, the spirit of God from the spirits of evil. The evil being the devil. Now remember, this isn't like God versus the devil. No, the devil's a fallen angel, he's a creature. But Jesus told us that the devil is Satan, the tempter, the father of lies, the murderer, the prince of darkness. And his spirit of evil, in so many ways, wants to take us away from God. So he has his, you could call them, gifts. But instead of the gift of fear of the Lord, it becomes more the gift of presumption. Thinking, I can live as I want to without being mindful of God, and yet presume I'm going to go to heaven. It's also the evil spirit of despair, where I could think, I'm hopeless. Life isn't worth living. I'm unforgivable. That's all the work of the devil. He could, instead of the gift of piety, inflict us with arrogance, where we think, I deserve to receive communion. I don't need to go to Mass. I don't need to follow the commandments. I'll decide. Instead of the gift of knowledge, he fills us with ignorance. Who needs to study the faith? I know better than the church knows. I can contradict sacred scripture, change the laws, change the commandments. Instead of the gift of understanding, the gift of confusion, the gift of dissent. Instead of the gift of counsel, then he tries to fill us with the gift of relativism. Oh, it doesn't matter right or wrong. Nothing's right or wrong. Do whatever you want to do. Instead of wisdom, pride. It's all about me. I can be God. I know what's best. And then instead of fortitude, cowardice. Cowardice. And then we cave in. Yes, this is how the devil works. And what's the fruit of all of that? St. Paul says, lewd conduct, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hostilities, bickering, jealousy, rage, selfish rivalries, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. That's the fruit of the spirit of evil. You and I always have to be on guard. But consider it. We see it. When we think of our life, the Holy Spirit wants us to build up a culture of life. The devil wants a culture of death, abortion, infanticide, euthanasia. And the Holy Spirit wants us to live in joy. The spirit of evil will produce such comedy things, such as that lady, her last name is Griffin, I forget her first name, that made the news this week, or Bill Maher. What kind of comedy is that? It's filled with the spirit of evil. Instead of really directing us closer to God, the devil wants to take us away, even to lead us on the path of destruction. A parishioner shared with me recently, and this is important for you parents to know, there's this new cyber computer game going on called Blue Whale Challenge, started over in Europe. But apparently there's this game master, tries to recruit teenagers especially, and they have 50 different challenges over 50 days. So it's a lot of peer pressure. And each time you meet the challenge, you post the pictures, and you either get ridiculed, applauded, whatever. So it starts off easy, like doing goofy things or getting up at weird times, gets into then watching horror movies, eventually gets, though, into drugs, drunkenness, cutting oneself, and the 50th day, suicide. And 100 young people in Russia have already committed suicide on this game, 7 in Portugal. The United Kingdom just put out a warning to parents about this. It's in our country, too. There's the spirit of evil. And so, the key is, Almighty God has poured forth the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit will enable us to be victorious. Never forget, God has conquered. God is victorious. Through Christ's passion, death, and resurrection, sin, evil, suffering, death have all been conquered. But you and I have to open our lives each day to the power of the Holy Spirit and invoke those gifts. Therefore, we pray, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created, and you will renew the face of the earth. May God bless you.